السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. یہ تو ہمارے دادا شیخ حضرت مولانا شاہ حکیم اختر صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ کا ایک لکھا ہوا اشعار نہیں لیکن ایک مناجات ہے. اس مناجات کو میں بے حد پسند کرتا ہوں اور یہ یقین ہے کہ ہمارے شیخ کو بھی بے حد پسند ہے. تو انشاءاللہ سماعت فرمائیں. سجدے میں سر ہو چشم بھی ہو اشک بار ہو سجدے میں سر ہو چشم بھی ہو اشک بار ہو سجدے میں سر ہو چشم بھی یوں اشک بار ہو رحمت کا تیری سر پہ میرے آبشار ہو یا اللہ رحمت کا تیری سر پہ میرے آبشار ہو اللہ جی رحمت کا تیری سر پہ میرے آبشار ہو سجدے میں سر ہو چشم بھی یوں اشک بار ہو رحمت کا تیری سر پہ میرے آبشار ہو غالب نہ نفس پر کبھی شہوت کی نار ہو غالب نہ نفس پر کبھی شہوت کی نار ہو دل میں نہ میرے غیر کا کوئی بخار ہو دل میں نہ میرے غیر کا کوئی بخار ہو میرے لبوں پہ ذکر تیرا بار بار ہو میرے لبوں پہ ذکر تیرا بار بار ہو پھر دل بفیض ذکر میرا پر بہار ہو ہم سب کو تیری یاد سے حاصل قرار ہو ہم سب کو تیری یاد سے حاصل قرار ہو دل دل مجھ ہم سب کو تیری یاد سے حاصل قرار ہو دل بھولنے سے تجھ کو بہت بے قرار ہو ہر ایک گناہ سے مجھے یا رب فرار ہو ہر ایک گناہ ہر ایک گناہ سے مجھے یا رب فرار ہو یک لمحہ آسیوں میں نہ میرا شمار ہو بستی ہو یا چمن ہو کے وہ کوہسار ہو بستی ہو یا چمن ہو کے وہ کوہسار ہو جاؤ جہاں بھی دل میرا تجھ پر نثار ہو اپنے کرم سے بھیک مجھے مغفرت کی دے اپنے کرم سے بھیک مجھے مغفرت کیجیے، بندہ تیرا محشر میرا یوں شرمسار ہو، بندہ تیرا محشر میرا یوں شرمسار ہو، یا رب تیرے کرم سے کچھ بھی نہیں بعید، یا رب تیرے کرم سے یہ کچھ بھی نہیں بعید، رحمت بروز محشر تیری بے شمار ہو، آسی اگر ہو متقی ترکے گناہ سے پھر تاج ولایت کا وہی تاجدار ہو، یا رب فدا ہو تجھ پہ اس اختر کا ہر نفس، یا رب فدا ہو تجھ پہ اس اختر کا ہر نفس، توفیق ایسی آپ کی لے لو نہار ہو، توفیق ایسی آپ کی لے لو نہار ہو، سجدے میں سر ہو چشم بھیو اشک بار ہو، رحمت کا تیری سر پہ میرے آبشار ہو.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، الحمدللہ وکفا والسلام علی عبادی الذین اصطفى، اما بعد، this beautiful, very very touching and loving dua of our honorable illustrious Dada Sheikh Arif Billah Rumi Waqt Tabriz Zamana Hazrat Shah Muhammad Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Nawwar Allahu Marqadahu. And this is just giving us a very brief glimpse of what qurb and what closeness the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you tread the path of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what we should achieve and where we should be going towards. And this shows that what close connection the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you realize your reality that you are absolutely nothing, that we are just beggars in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala is mustaghni, Allah ta'ala is totally independent, Allah doesn't need anybody. So we have to be begging all the time, never ever think that I have reached certain maqam, I have reached certain position, now I am the close banda of Allah, never ever. This is what we learn from this beautiful dua and munajat. This is the secret to talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the middle of the night, etc. Hazrat is teaching us, and so beautifully Hazrat has titled this munajat, this dua, Rahmat ka teri sar par, sar pe mere abshar ho, that O Allah, your fountain of mercy should be pouring like a fountain, like a cloud upon my head. And when will this happen? When a person, as you tread the path of the love of Allah, you realize what a life I have left till now. Even the pious servants, Allahu Akbar, they in their obedience, they acknowledge that our obedience is full of mistakes. People like myself are useless, I'm involved in sin, and we still think that we are somewhere close to the love of Allah. We far from that, very, very far. Sajda mein sar ho, chashme bhi yu ab ashbar ho, rahmat ka teri sar pe mere abshar ho. That, O Allah, give me that tawfiq, that I bow my head down in sajda, and my tears are also flowing out of total regret and sadness, and begging in front of you, that is making tawbah, and begging, O Allah, please forgive me. And when this happens, Allah Ta'ala's rahmat comes in josh. So Allah, let your rahmat fall upon me like a fountain, and grab me into your and take me into your closeness. In other words, the friends of Allah, the more you get the love of Allah, the more you see just istighfar, tawbah. As our Shaykh also tells us, that Hazrat on one occasion asked our Dada Shaykh, Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib, that now just istighfar comes on my tongue all the time. Hazrat says that you are on the highways of wilayat, and you're flying towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the friends of Allah, and we see the close, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, then the greatest ummati, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What a position, over and over his praises are mentioned in the Qur'an-i Kareem. Yet in front of Kaaba Sharif at Multazam, what dua is making? Ilahi abduka al-asi ataka, muqirram bi-zunubi wa kad da'aka, in taghfirli fa-antahalun lizaak, wa in tadrudni fa-mayyarham siwaak. Said, oh Allah, your most useless servant, the greatest servant of Allah in the ummah, and yet acknowledges, and not like myself, outwardly just put a show that I am the useless person, but I think I'm very resting. And that is what we have to come here and get. This you'll only get from the hearts of those people whose hearts are connected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has brought us here, at least myself, we should be making dua and begging Allah, that oh Allah, soften this rock heart of mine, and let this reality come into me, that where these great personalities, then where do we stand in the line? And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq is teaching us that, oh Allah, if you forgive me, it's your kindness. And if you turn me away, which other door can I go to? And this is the only door. مَنْ يَغْفِرُ الزُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Who is going to forgive us? And we have to turn and beg over and over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah's rahmat of, the fountain of rahmat, as Allah Akbar, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, all Allah wants, one drop of tear of nadamat, of regret, that will put off the whole fire of Jahannam. Look at the mercy and the kindness of Allah. غالب نہ نفس پر بھی کبھی شہوت کی نار ہوں دل میں نہ میرے غیر کا کوئی بھی خار ہوں. Then we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never ever think that I made my islah now. Now my nafs is gone to a state of mutmainna. The friends of Allah, the more they make their islah, the more they worried. Is nafs they never ever be itminan, that no, my nafs is under control. Because this nafs is like a snake. In the cold, it's like it's weak, its body is dead. But when the sun comes out, which manner this nafs can deceive us and put us into shame? So Hazrat is begging, teaching us to beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that oh Allah, never ever should my nafs be overtaken with the fire of lust. That fire of lust, which manner can it overtake us? Our illicit affairs, over thinking that I'm somebody great, that pride comes in the heart, and where a person can be thrown out of the court of Allah. And for this, O Allah, dil mein na mere ghair ka koi bhi khar ho. That, O Allah, my heart now should be filled only with your love. That nobody besides you, even a thorn of anything else, shouldn't be in my heart. That never ever should I think, turn my attention towards anybody besides you, O Allah. So Allah, give us this reality. Mere labo pe, this is a very high maqam of Hazrat, very high position, but at least we can think that we, this is where we have to walk towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mere labo pe zikr tere bar bar ho, phir dil ba fez zikr mera pur bahar ho. Then what is my condition when you in this now closeness with Allah? As Hazrat in another beautiful poem mentions, apne qurb ka maza chaka de ya Rab, phir kabhi duri mein. That, oh Allah, let me enjoy the closeness of your, let me enjoy your close proximity. Then never ever push me away, oh Allah, because of my sins. And don't let me be distant the slightest amount. As Allah Hazrat teaches us in another beautiful way to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is, you read the ayat, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُ وَرَحْمَتُهُ. That, oh Allah, only your fadl and rahmat, that please make my islah. And then in such a way, Allah yajtabi may yashau ilay, wa yahdi ilay may yunib. That, oh Allah, you make me just in such a way, make me amongst those that you desire to pull, that the whole world's forces won't able to move me one inch away from you. So we should be begging Allah Ta'ala. Then when a person has got this proximity, what you enjoy? That, oh Allah, please, on my tongue, from my heart all the time, just your zikr. And we see the friends of Allah all the time, walking, talking, they sitting, they thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all the time Allah's great names, Ya Halim, Ya Kareem, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, all the time on their tongues, and this is from their heart. And then Hazrat says that because of the barakat of the zikr that you give me, O Allah, now your special faith, your special focus upon me, that my heart is just like a garden and joy. My heart is in a different condition of ecstasy. And this is the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Outwardly they might look like they're going through difficult conditions also. They might even look sick or there might be some other problem. But what their heart is enjoying, the closeness of Allah, we cannot imagine that. So don't look at the outward conditions of people. The heart, that is what Allah Ta'ala looks at. And that you will get from the friends of Allah. Otherwise today we hearing of people asking Mufti Sahab that my life is in such a misery, can I commit suicide? Where can you hear that for a Muslim? But these questions are coming to the Muftis. Whereas our Dada Shaykh says, did you ever see a friend of Allah ever thinking or talking of committing suicide? It's far-fetched. Outwardly their conditions might be even worse than what that person is talking of. But that shows, when we get involved in all the thorns of this dunya, when it comes in the heart, you'll be in misery all the time. And when all the thorns are removed, as Hazrat is making dua, that not even a thorn of anything else must be in my heart, then your heart is like Allahu Akbar. It's like spring all the time. Hum sab ko tere yaad se hasil qarar ho. Dil bhulne se tujhko bahut beqarar ho. And then we beg Allah that, O Allah, for all of us, the whole ummah, Ya Allah, give us such a heart that we have firmness in our heart. That this is the only path of success, to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can only get it from the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, only can. And then a person gets this firm conviction of man sharah Allah sadrahu lil Islam, that your heart is convinced that Islam that has been taught by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and came down now, and we get the pure Islam from our present mashayikh, Allahu Akbar. We can't make enough shukr that, oh Allah, let this firmness come, especially in this time and age, where all different types of models of Islam, etc., and all different types of thought, Ya Allah, give our heart firmness. And that is what Hazrat teaches us all the time. We read the dua, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, Sabbit Qulubana ala Deenik, Wa Ya Musarrif al-Qulub, Sarrif Qulubana ila Ta'atik. And that, oh Allah, that my heart becomes restless, that for a moment I must be unmindful of you. I shouldn't be unmindful of you for a moment, otherwise I'll be in a state of restlessness. This is the state of restlessness for the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Har ek gunah se mujhe ya Rab farar ho, yak lamha aasiyon mein na mere shumar ho. And how when this condition comes, that you are so close to Allah, now you only got two worries. One is that, oh Allah, just let me run, take me away from all the things that will distance me from you. That the friends of Allah forget sins. Sins is even in their ibadat, they regard it as weakness. Yeah, Hazrat Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi used to mention that I have seen those people, referring to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, that spending their nights in ibadat, and wabil as'arium yastaghfirun. At the time of Sahri, they are making tawbah istighfar. And he says, today I see people in that zamana. What is my condition today? That we are involved in sun and we are laughing. We still got time for jokes. Still got time for entertainment. So Hazrat says that, O Allah, let me run away from every sun. And where run to? Fafirru ilallah. Run towards Allah Rabbul Izzat. That, O Allah, the biggest worry the friends of Allah got in dunya, that for one moment my name must not be written among the sinners. That, oh Allah, please forgive me. Don't let my name be written upon the sinners. And that's why istighfar and tawbah is just part of their life all the time. Basti ho ya chaman ho, ke wo kohsar ho, jao jidar bhi dil mera tujhse par nisar ho. And then, Allahu Akbar, oh Allah, in any condition, wherever I may be, in the cities, I have to do my work, whether I'm in a garden, I'm in a nice, beautiful place with my family, whether it's just a nest, in other words, any nook and corner in the world, that, oh Allah, that every moment my heart should be sacrificed upon you. That, and this is the other worry of the friends of Allah, that is Allah happy with me? That every minute a person must be worried, not that now I'm alone, we are on holiday, now our whole attire changes, and as Allah teaches us, myself, this is my lesson, we all should look at our own condition, like chameleons. When we in majlis, then we are great buzrugs. We just leave the majlis, then we in a different condition again. So Allah Ta'ala give us that steadfastness, that all the time we are worried every moment that my life, agar dil dena ho to usi ki dil ho jisne tu hame dil diya. Give your heart to that great being who gave us a heart. Only Allah will appreciate that heart. Apne karam se beek mujhe maghfirat ki de, bande banda tera mahshar mein. Na ye shankar hoon. That Hazrat is now teaching us what close proximity. Never ever does the friends of Allah think that I am a very close friend of Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Khalilullah, making dua, wala tuhzini yawma yubasun. Oh Allah, don't disgrace me on the day of Qiyamah. Which shows that we learn from the Anbiya, and then it came down from their legacy, that the more you get close to Allah Ta'ala, never ever have this notion that I am close to Allah. Allah is independent, Allah is mustaghni. So Allah, please, I am begging you that just forgive me. Allahu Akbar. Hakimul Ummat, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali says that where I am even preferred to get placed by the shoes of the Jannatis. Whereas Hazrat, that's the height of tawazu. That if Allah can just forgive me, that is enough for us. So we should be just begging Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. That, oh Allah, please, please, tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, don't ever disgrace me. And our Dada Shaykh and Hazrat has taught us, one shukr you make in the morning that, oh Allah, you are Sattarul Uyub. That you have covered my faults. And why you have covered my faults? Because you Ghaffarul Zunub. Because you want to forgive me, oh Allah. Now when Allah is covered, don't let us stay at the parda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beg Allah that, oh Allah, give us tawfiq, as Hazrat is teaching us how to make dua here. That, oh Allah, keep us steadfast. That, Ya Rab, Tere Karam Se Ye Kuch Bhi Nahi Baid. Rahmat Barozeh. Bazaar Hashar, Teri Beshumar Ho. That, oh Allah, this is not far-fetched from you. Your mercy is such. Although on the one hand, Allah Ta'ala is Kareem. On the other hand, Allah is Jabbar. In other words, Hazrat has taught us in the beginning stages of the day of Mahshar, of the day of Qiyamah, Allah's rahmat will be such josh, so much rahmat of Allah, even Satan will have hope he might get be forgiven. But after that, when Allah's jalal overtakes, then it Allah Ta'ala will announce, Limanil mulkul yawm. Now for whose sovereignty belongs? We thought it's my property, it's my life, it's my this. No, so Hazrat is saying, oh Allah, it's not far-fetched. That on the day of Qiyamah, your mercies will be unlimited. So please engulf us in your mercy. In other words, don't let us see the other side. Aasi agar ho muttaqi tarki guna se. Fir tajili wilayat ka wahi tajdar ho. And Hazrat is teaching us, why the friends of Allah have this condition that, oh Allah, I am the most useless servant. Outwardly, a person can be a reckless person. He might be looking like a big sinner. But in a split moment, if his heart melts, and he begs Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, he gets the crown of wilayat on his head. So, Hazrat teaches us so beautifully in another poem, Ezaide nada, kisi gunegar ku hakir mat samjo. That, oh person, that you think you are getting close to Allah, you are just inclined from the world, don't look down upon any sinful person. He can be maybe the lost case of the world, but in a moment Allah wants to change his life. That person is flying towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all the time we should realize, never ever we have guarantee we going with iman. We have to be worried of this iman and looking after it. And that is why Allah has given us these opportunities for these Mubarak Majalis. We should come here with open hearts all the time, begging Allah ta'ala, Ya Rab fidaho tujhpe is akhtar ka har nafas. Tawfiq aisi aapki layl wa nahar hoon. And what is the crux and subtotal of these majalis and tasawwuf? That, oh Allah, give Hazrat is out of his humbleness saying, Akhtar, but what a close proximity Hazrat has achieved with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat is saying and teaching us that, oh Allah, every breath of mine should be just sacrificed upon you. And this is pass and fast, which generally in tasawwuf there's a term pass and fast. That you take a breath in, and when you take your breath out, Allah. Hazrat says the real pass and fast is that every breath you look after it not to disobey Allah. That is real pass and fast. Otherwise a person can be making a lot of zikr, but still we are not controlling our hearts, we are not controlling our tongues, etc. So Hazrat is begging that, and the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us. Shuaib alayhi salatu wasalam is telling his people, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. It is only Allah Ta'ala's fazal and karam that Allah gives us tawfiq to remain straight. So we have to beg Allah, tawfiq aapki layl wa naharo. Every moment, day and night, O Allah, every minute, just let your special mercies be upon me and keep me firm and give us istiqamat. Allah give us all tawfiq and understanding.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى وذكر فإن الذكرى تنفع المؤمنين صدق الله المولانا العظيم. A few valuable points that we came across, and as usual when what we benefit from we like to share it. Hopefully all of us will benefit and get the great enjoyment and benefit of it. So Allah Ta'ala says make muzakra, discuss it, repeat it. For this, that the muzakra is very beneficial for the believers. And the person who makes the muzakra, he benefits, in fact, the most. Because when he speaks, his ears are the closest. So he listens to it the first, and then other people also listen. And also by making muzakra, repeating over and over our lesson, it becomes stronger and stronger. Like a drop of water falling on a rock also. So the water is so soft. But continuously it makes a hole in that rock also. Just like that, our own, what we talk all the time, our hearts can be hard like rock. But we remind ourselves over and over with the need to get reminded. Inshallah, it's going to make a hole and the heart is going to melt and get soft. So among these muzakras, one very important, Allah give us all tawfiq that before we start our wudu, we read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Or we read Bismillah walhamdulillah. Or we read Bismillah al-Azimi walhamdulillahi ala deeni al-Islam. Easiest, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In one narration it comes when a person reads Bismillah before he starts his wudu, then as long as his wudu remains, the malaika, the angels will keep on making dua for him. So what a great virtue. From the masala point of view, wuzu is made if we don't read Bismillah. Wuzu will be made. But there are ulama, certain group, the ulama is zahir, who go on the outward form of shariat, they say wuzu is not made if we don't read Bismillah. According to them, to read Bismillah is farad. That is not the opinion of our ulama, and that is not our maslak. But they have that. That it, and this goes to show how important Bismillah is. To get an idea, like one roza of Ramadan, if a person did not keep it, and he did not have a valid shari'i excuse, and he didn't keep it, ulama say he can keep roza his whole life. He won't be able to cover up for that roza. Whereas it is, you must one roza, you keep one roza, it is done. But the virtues of it, the spirituality, the nuraniyat of it, your whole life you can keep roza, you can't cover it up. So similarly with wudu also. If we don't read Bismillah, wudu will be made. But that benefit that you get by reading Bismillah, that you will not get. Our ulama also, the masala is that if we made wudu and we did not read Bismillah, it is mustahab to repeat that wudu again. And we say Bismillah and we read. So the true value of a wudu, and there are so many virtues, the protection a person gets from shaitan, from all the evil sources of our own nafs also. All the evil sources is when a person is in wudu, and that wudu has got that spirituality with that Bismillah before it. So Allah give us tawfiq whenever we make our wudu, that we read Bismillah before we start our wudu. And that is not when we wash our hands, but before we start washing our hands. We complete our Bismillah, or Bismillah, walhamdulillah, whatever we read, but read it before we start with the wudu. Niyat is also very important. According to Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullah alayh, wudu is not made without intention, niyyah. That wudu is not counted. According to us, Hanafis, wudu will be made. But we make the niyat of wudu, the reward of it is also very great. So we should always try and make our niyat also, and then read our Bismillah also. Allah give us tawfiq, this is, will make that wudu, it will make it a great defense for us. Wherever, in whichever environment, especially those of us who have to go in such environments, in such places where there is evil, where there are women, where there is music, we have to perhaps go to a shopping mall, music is playing or whatever, the other places we have to go out of necessity, which we should not go unless it is necessary. And then also when we go, only to the extent that it is necessary. And then we should come out of those places. So if we go there and we go with our wudu, inshallah we will be protected. And otherwise, a person will fall prey to all these evil things, and then they will harm him. Allah give us all tawfiq. Another very important point also that we came across is that it comes in the Hadith Sharif that the stomach is the fountain of the body, and veins and arteries are the rivers that flow from this fountain. On this, Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali writes that what will be in the fountain, that will go into the arteries and the veins. The rivers are flowing from that fountain. So what is going to be the water in the fountain, that will now flow into the arteries and the veins. On that, Hazrat stresses a lot on our eating habits, what we eat, etc. Of course, what we eat goes in the stomach. And what that food was, that will now start going into the arteries and into the veins. And in his zamana, maybe roughly about 100 years ago, Maulana is writing about this, that when we eat the wrong foods, now the wrong things are going in the arteries and the veins. And today we know how lot problems almost all of us have got. Blocked arteries, all the other things that are going, it is all from the stomach. And it is all what we are putting in the stomach. Therefore, the Hakims, their treatment till today, they focus on the stomach. That if the stomach is right, the whole body will be right. And if the stomach is not right, then you'll have problems everywhere else. So their focus of treatment is on the stomach. That the stomach must come right. So in that, Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali says, when we are eating the wrong foods, and today it is the way of life. It is the art and way of life, eating out, etc. And this eating out, apart from the shari'i point of view, that what food, etc., but even from a hygienic point of view, though the governments all have got, the food departments have got very strict regulations, but those are only for the book or to be hung up in those places. But as far as the actual practice is concerned, they hardly really apply. And now all that filth and dirt coming into us, and that going into our veins and into our arteries, which go into every part of the body, then we can well imagine and understand clearly that what the result will be, with all the different things. So one is all this wrong food, unhealthy food, and if it is haram also, then even much more worse, then that is flowing in all the arteries, in all the veins. And if it is not haram, but it is unhealthy food, junk food, we call it also, how shaitan has made us, that we speak of it as junk food, and yet we release it. And we regard that as something really good. And eating out today has become a norm. In fact, when boys want to propose and go and see a girl, the girls will even make the condition that at least once a month, that is if you are very lucky, otherwise every week or what, that we have to go and eat out. And then what all things that what we are eating. So this is a thing we have to be very careful. Then further, if we eat good food, health, halal food, and not only halal, but tayyib, good, healthy food, wholesome food, in which there is no doubt, then that also must be in moderation. It doesn't mean sometimes we think, well, today I've got very good, pure, healthy food, so I can go to town with it. No, that must be also in moderation. So that is also very important. Then further with regard to this food also, like if we eat and we're going to sleep away after that, we haven't allowed time for that food to digest. If we, therefore, preferably, like if we eat after Maghrib preferably, then you make your Isha, and preferably you walk to Isha, which doesn't happen also now. If we walk to Isha, then also the food gets a chance to digest. But if we eat and after that we go to bed, this is also very, very unhealthy. Up to the age of about 40, around about there, the body is still quite strong normally. And it can digest it, you won't feel anything. But you will feel it later in life. And after 40, then even if you go and try and lie down, the gases that come won't allow you to sleep until again you perhaps take medication, which is not the right thing, or you make some exercises, walk to digest that food. So this is also very important. Another thing is to stand and eat, which is also a common thing today. If you have a braai place, etc., or many other places also, we stand and walk around and eat. Eating also, we should sit down. And the correct posture also. Without necessity to sit with cross-legged when we're eating, it's also not correct at all. If it is of necessity, it's a different thing, but otherwise to sit in the right posture also. So all this, the food, what we eat, how much we eat, and the mode that we eat, is all, they are all very, very important for our health. And if it is good, healthy, halal food, then the result of that is that يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعَمَلُوا صَالِحًا. If we will eat of this nice, good, halal food, then we will get the tawfiq of doing amali saliha. So also, many a person who has got problems in his life also, and many a person who's got problems in his health also, should check on his diet. One student in America, he just couldn't memorize HIFS. He just could not learn it. What little he learned with great difficulty, he could not retain it. He could not memorize it, retain it. They went and speak to an alim. The alim asked, what food does he eat? And it was all this Kentucky, all this outlets, etc. So that alim told them, give him only house food to eat. They prepared house food and gave him. It wasn't 2 weeks that he was on his way. And now his hips had become easy for him. So many of our other things also that we have to see what we are eating. Allah give us tawfiq. Another very important point also that we came across is that for women, there is parda. They should maintain the parda. They should remain in parda. Now with regard to this, also one misconception that comes many or two of us, that what parda means is a cloak, is the jilbab, is the cloak, we cover ourselves. Now once we have done that, we feel now we can do anything. We can live just like other people. Whereas the object of parda is to keep the woman in the house. And the real parda, even if she hasn't got a cloak for herself, but she just stays at home, that woman is perfectly in parda. And she doesn't have to leave, there is no necessity. Today our lifestyles have changed also, but she doesn't have to leave home and she doesn't own one cloak also. One burqa also, she is perfectly in parda. Burqa, parda, hijab, all that does not mean that now a woman is free because if she just dons that, now she can go on the sports ground also. And she can go and play sports also, go and view sports, and in fact, they send the clips around that they are making namaz also there, on the sports ground, etc. Now, because she's in parda, all this has become halal. Not at all. We have lost the complete object of it. What the object of it is that she stays at home. If she doesn't have to go shopping of dire necessity, and actually it should be that she shouldn't. and there is no need for her, then she shouldn't even be going to the shopping malls. If unfortunately her condition, there is absolutely no one and no way for her, then also just according to necessity, not to go there and browse along and spend almost a whole day and going and to all the various things, having coffee here and having tea there and browsing around, that is definitely, even if she's in burqa, this is not permissible. Being on the sports grounds, etc., jogging on the streets, etc., that now I've got a burqa on, so now it becomes jais. It doesn't become jais with all those things. That is not what the object of parda and burqa is. Similarly, another thing is that our deen and our Islam and the sunnahs of our deen is also not permissible. It's not a license for any of us, men also, that now just because I've got sunnah dress, now I can also I can rub shoulders with the people of the world. The line of sunnah is taking us in one direction, and the life or and the line of the people of dunya goes in a different direction. We can't rub shoulders with them just because I've got my kurta on, I've got my beard, etc. Now we can do all the things what they also do, but just because the outside of it is Islamic, now it's permissible for us. No, not at all. Our Islamic way of life guides us in a certain direction. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali quotes the poem that, "Oh Haji, I fear the road you are travelling on is not going to lead you to Mecca. You are taking the road that leads to Turkestan, to the opposite direction from where the traveller is." So we also, just having all this, and now just because I've got beard, I've got kurta, I've got topi, or I got a title of a maulana, title of a hafiz, now many things, and we can rub shoulders, we can live like them also. But we just do it with the Islamic flavor. No, not at all. Islam teaches us that we have to go in a certain direction. And that is what has to come. Our topi and beard should guide us towards the masjid, should guide us towards seclusion with Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, guide us towards obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Not that we go now and do things as the other people are also doing, but just because we got the Islamic titles or Islamic outward Islamic forms, now this becomes jais for us. So it is very important that we differentiate with these things and we bring the correct way of life within us. And we have to remember that our direction, which is for everyone, but we should always remember we are going to Akhirat. And the other people who don't believe in Akhirat, so for them they're not going there, for them there is nothing. They don't believe in life in the Qabr, they don't believe in the Akhirat, so they are not worried. Or even if we are Muslims, but we got no conscience of the Akhirat, we are only worried of dunya all the time. Like for example, which is very, very common with many of us, even if we are regular with our namazes, etc., but if somebody is ill, for example, all we are worried is for his good health, and all we are worried is for a long life, but about his qabr, the akhirat, whereas all our illnesses will come to a physical illnesses will come to an end at the time of mort. Then it won't be there, we won't have any more cancer problem, we won't have to go for dialysis, we won't have any heart problem, we don't have to go for any bypass, that will have come to an end. But the real, the spiritual bimari, that we don't focus on. We don't worry of the person, of anyone that has passed away also, that is qabr's life, what is happening there, what will be happening to us, what will be our qabr's life, the day of qiyamah. Whereas we see on the other hand, Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi of Allah, and what du'as he has taught us for protection. Then we see Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, how they were worried of the life of the Akhirat. Hazrat Umar all, Hazrat Usman, how much he used to cry at the Qabr. They were so concerned, and normally our lives, we don't even think about it. It doesn't mean anything apparently to us, what is going to happen, or what is happening to our close family people. Any Muslim who is in the Qabr, in the Qabristan, what is happening there, we will go to Qabristan also, and this is to remind us. But we will make Isali Sawab, we'll read our three quls, etc. But we have that concern that we don't know, and nobody has got certainty what is the condition of the person in the qabr, and what it could be, only Allah Ta'ala knows. So that concern also that we should have. So our life, and we have to keep in mind our akhirat. We have to return to Allah. Whatever we do, that how are we going to be able to face it there? We have to look at it from that point of view. If other people are looking at it, we have to live in this world, we have to live with the people, we have to listen to the people, we can't, the people, the criticism of people, etc. And we have to worry about that, what will the people say? Then that we will go in a different direction then. And it doesn't mean we just want to violate and make it go against the trend, but we have to keep our deen, the sunnahs in mind. We have to keep in mind we are going to our qabr. We have to face Allah on the day of qiyamah. We will have to answer to Allah Ta'ala. So keeping that in mind is how we have to live our lives. Allah give us all tawfiq to go in that direction, inshallah.